evening and welcome to another episode of Citizen Kane. My name is Conan Soliday, and joining me in the dungeon is the ever insightful Miss Shauna Nash. We are streaming live on the Facebook. If you're watching on Cheshire TV Channel 8 and you would rather get a grasp of the live version so you can actually contact us, get in the chat room, call us. Of course, head on over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/citizenkane.org. The number to call, 267-521-2771. Or, of course, you can Skype us. That handle is citizenkane.org. If you'd rather message me, the email address is show@citizenkane.org. Or, of course, you can message me using the old Facebook. Shauna, the Salsa Queen Nash, how are you this evening?
I'm doing well.
I hear that you broke another gym.
I'm basically a jinx. I signed up for Lynx Fitness on Tuesday morning. Used it Tuesday after work. Plan was to use it in the morning, so I used it Wednesday morning. Wednesday morning, and then Thursday morning when I came in, there was a sign saying they were closed as of the night before.
Now, is this the third or the fourth gym that has gone under while you...
As soon as I signed up?
Yeah.
This would only be the second, so let's everybody calm down. The one before that was Fit Nation, right after I either just re-signed up for a year again or I decided not to cancel. Mm-hmm. But as soon as I sent, I think I brought you in and I asked them, does he need to sign anything? And they're like, no, we're not really going to be here too much longer. And then they shut down in the same manner of people show up and there's a sign.
Yeah. So this was the Lynx gym on Marlboro Street. Which is actually looking a lot nicer since when I moved here 4 years ago. There's a lot more businesses that are sprouting up
along Marlboro Street,
around Marlboro Street, right? Yeah. And I thought that this gym was going to do quite well. I know that we have a friend of the show who's been going there pretty much since its inception for the past year. Lost a lot of weight, put on some muscle, and he was horror struck when he found out.
I saw him my first day in there.
Yeah, and I don't know what he's going to do. You actually have another gym, but it's just not where you want it to be. It's out of the way.
Yeah, I already have a Planet Fitness membership, the $10 a month. It is always there. It's not 24 hours, but it is physically there. Mm-hmm. It's a big chain, so they can't really just shut her down and go out of business. They're probably publicly traded on the stock exchange and everything, but it is out of my way.
Yeah.
It's out of the way on the way to work and just from anywhere.
So you have that option.
Yep.
You also have the very expensive YMCA, which is right,
the YMCA,
right across the road from us.
I could walk there.
That would be very nice, but it's wretchedly expensive.
It's about $60 a month-ish or so. They do have a special if you were a Lynx member. They said that they have a Facebook post where they say they'll waive your startup fee, which I think is $100, if you sign up. And signing up means you're signing up for a year. But, it's better than Lynx Gym, which is no gym at all. Mm-hmm. So,
and also, because you just paid, you went like one day.
The article in the Sentinel says that the last person... recently is September 23rd. I signed up the day before they decided. So the check, I wrote them a check for, the startup and the prorated membership minus 2 days and the ID card to get in. I talked immediately to my bank, which is a local bank, Walpole Bank, in case anyone wants to hack into my account, all my money. And I said, hey, I just saw it. I need to stop the check. I've never stopped the check before. They said it's $30. That's almost half of what the check is for.
Yeah, exactly.
This is oppression. They're like, well, I went to that gym too. I'm sorry. All right, fine. If the check goes through, then I'll stop it and be out $30, which is better than being out almost $90. By the end of the day, there was a message from the same Walpole Bank that at least told me that management was telling them that they were going to waive the stop check fees.
Good.
So, you know, maybe that was just for me. I doubt it. Again, if you hack into my account and see how much money I don't have, you know, it's probably not a message just for me.
Yeah, I would say it's always advisable to ask. I mean, it never hurts.
Oh, yeah.
And so if you're at Walpole, definitely, you know, and you want to get that stop check and not get charged. And if you're going to any other bank, I'm sure that, you know, this was, you know, not a small event. I'm sure these banks want to keep, retain your membership, and they don't want to, you know.
Well, I will say that Walpole Bank, at least in the couple years after the financial collapse of 2008, they had, I'll find it and I'll put it on the post on the Citizen Kane Facebook page, but they actually said, hey, bailing out the banks was a bad idea. That was the impression I got from reading it, and I knew how to read. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they were pretty on board with not destroying society by bailing out the banking industry. I don't think all the other banks are like that in Keene, not the national banks that encompass all of America, those types of banks of the whole of America. But, you know, that's how it goes.
Well, I hope you find a gym that you can stick with and you don't help.
That I don't destroy joining.
So that happened, of course, early this week. Something else happened on Monday early this week. The Keene Middle School project has finally been okayed by the planning board and the Planning License and Development Committee. They had a extremely long meeting on Monday evening. I'm glad I didn't go to it. I watched it.
Oh, let me read this one.
I watched it from the comfort of my house. But Shauna, go ahead and read this. Just tragedy.
So this is Tuesday, and let's talk about Monday. But 9 p.m., audience members were just perplexed by the plot twist they'd seen at the Keene Planning Board meeting Monday night. They didn't know what was going on. They were really surprised. Project managers shifted uncomfortably in their chairs for an hour and a half while the public opposed their proposal. Only to have the planning board vote unanimously in favor of the plans for the former Keene Middle School property.
I watched...
That's such a plot twist. That never happens.
I watched this in its entirety, and I did not get that.
Didn't get what? The perplex? The bafflement?
I think some of the board members were a little uneasy. Because this is because there was about 70 people who showed up to this. There was four people who spoke in favor. And everyone else spoke against it. And they had everything ranging from let's explain what this is. The old middle school is actually going to be turned into something called The Spot, which is a 200-seat restaurant. Additionally, there's going to be a 1,100-seat function space, a lounge, a martini whiskey bar, a billiards game room, a bakery, a recording studio, retail stores, and other businesses. And that's just the middle school portion. They're also going to be putting up a 124,000 square foot, four-story apartment building behind this building. And of course, four stories is going to be putting some of that neighborhood in the shadow. So anyway, so here is some of the complaints. People are worried about the fact there's going to be a concert there. You know, going into the wee hours of the morning, at least 1 a.m.
All the drunken screaming afterwards. If it's really going after the young people, a martini / whiskey bar.
Mm-hmm. The restaurant will remain open till 3 a.m. Of course, you have a water drainage issue in Keene, where there is every time someone puts up a parking lot or a building, that's ground, that's dirt that could be soaking up water, and now it's going on the pavement, and it has to go somewhere. A lot of people blame.
So the streets are going to be more flooded?
Well, if they don't do a really good job of directing the water out of this area, it could
then
lead
they will
to.
Be.
I mean, there's a soccer field back there, and that ground is sucking up that water. If you put a building there, I'm sorry. Now you've got to do something with that water.
There's less ground to suck up the water.
Yeah, and of course, so yeah, people
before.
are also worried about the drugs and the alcohol, which is, you know, is probably going to, you know, but hey.
That is going to be a problem.
Correct. The problem with all these arguments is they're null. They don't really mean anything because the building owner put forth a plan. He's followed all the directives. He's followed all the ordinances and crossed his T's, dotted his I's, and the city can't do anything about it. So
do anything about what the complaints that people have?
They can't honor these complaints because they're just people who are resistant to this building going up. It's a private property. The guy can do what he wants with it. Now they do have,
but their complaints are not about, you know, I don't like a whiskey bar, a martini / whiskey bar because I don't like whiskey or martinis. It's they were framed in how it affects them,
mm-hmm.
like. So I would think that those would be things that they can have to address. Like you say, the applicant, the owner of the property, or the developer, they crossed their T's and dotted their I's. Well, wouldn't crossing the T's and dotting the I's entail addressing those issues? Or, honest to God, just pay off the neighbors until they're satisfied monetarily. I don't know.
Well, what the planning board can do is they can look into the 19... developmental standards, and it deals with drainage and parking and the traffic. I don't have all 19 in front of me, but they looked at them all and said, "Hey, look, you know the and here's the worst part about it. The building is in the building or the business district,
mm-hmm.
and so they don't actually need to provide any parking
for
the 130 units that are going to be getting put up." So,
what?
Yeah, that's just the way that it's zoned. Now, maybe that'll change this year with this new zoning redo. But yeah, it's...
So, they're in the business district, therefore, they don't need to provide parking Mm-mm. for residential.
Not according to the way the zoning is written.
But if they're in a business district, how can they have residential? And 2 episodes ago, there was that restaurant that was scrapped on Ralston and Winchester Street.
It's
and
mixed.
Because they were in a zone where they did have to provide parking, I thought that was also a business district.
That's a restaurant.
Okay, so restaurant. And this has a restaurant.
Right, and these are mixed use. I believe that it's mixed use. So you have plenty of people living in the downtown area. They're usually living like above restaurants and above shops and stuff. So they're all over the place. This is...
So that would still be a different type of zoning.
It's whatever the thick urban zone, whatever the requirements are.
God.
It
doesn't matter. I mean, everybody's saying they don't want it. Everybody's saying, it seems to me,
because
I'm a great journalist, whatever.
They're resistant to change.
Well, they're resistant to change, but I'm not really sure how concern about drainage not being properly addressed is, I'm just being resistant to change. You know, I mean, it's like...
And loud, obnoxious kids and a 4-story building that's putting your little house in a shadow.
Degrading the quality of life when you're paying your mortgage, paying your rent, paying your property taxes, and, you know, somebody comes in and just degrades your quality of life for things that are very foreseeable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not creating like a churchy women's sewing circle. Not like that would go anywhere in Keene.
Some of the people at this meeting probably would have loved that because they want the quaint, small town life.
Well, then maybe they should just go die or something. I don't know. But I mean, they have these concerns. It's foreseeable. You put a martini / whiskey bar, you're going to get...
Never mind that the whole street is
college
full of restaurants that serve alcohol.
You're going to get college seasoned women, a euphemism for fill in the blank, and a whiskey bar, slang for fill in the blank. And, you know, what do you think's going to happen? What do you think you're going to get? What kind of people, you know? So, I mean, it's very clear what's going to happen, what they're doing to that neighborhood. What, you know, and I mean, to a point, you are right that there is just simple resistance to change. And if those older, well, I'm just guessing you meant older people who are against the change, you know, if they wanted a churchy women's sewing circle there, they should have invested and put everything there. I agree. But it just seems like there is no balance. The only thing that seems consistent is whatever the public very strongly wants, the opposite happens. Whether right. it's well, the Bearcat, whether it's the Historical Commission annexing further downtown, whether it's, you know, a restaurant that would have been great, you know, for as long as it could have, just getting shot down completely, to, you know, this that, I'll say it to my mind, doesn't sound all that great. It sounds like just money being poured in, but...
And by the way, some commenters did compare this to the Bearcat decision.
However, everything can be compared to the Bearcat because the Bearcat was a clear, like...
No, it's not.
Everybody wants this. The city does the exact opposite.
Right, but in that case, the city officials had every... They had every ability to not accept that federal grant for a $280,000 tank. In this case, private property wins.
They didn't have a choice.
All they could do is look at the plans and make sure that those 19 or 18 developmental standards were met.
The point was to say you did the developmental standards.
Right. And by the way, Council Member Hansel, I think, really summarized.
Well, we've heard a lot of...
Summarized what? Did he say something very popular that sounds cool at the same time? Wow!
Not summarized. He put together a good argument for what the city council and the planning board are capable of doing, and here he is.
A firebrand.
Good testimony tonight on a lot of different issues with this project. Really, we're set to sitting in a quasi-judicial role that is meant to take the evidence presented and apply it to our 19 development standards. And really just that's our limited scope. And while I sympathize with some of the testimony we've heard and some of the concerns with this project, I pretty thoroughly went through, took the staff's report and also reread the development standards that we look at. And you know, I feel like the petitioner has done a really good job meeting some of the concerns that came up earlier. I also took the liberty. I went down to one of the owner of this property's other properties down in Fitchburg, Mass, to one of their apartment complexes, and I was pretty impressed with what I saw. I think they did a really nice job with the renovation of that old property. The property was full. I talked to a couple residents coming out of the building. They were more than satisfied. And that made me feel a little bit better about this project, just from a superficial feeling kind of mode. So those are my two cents on it at this point.
Thank you.
There you go. His two cents. I think he summed it up pretty nicely.
What did he say?
You were typing.
No. He was saying like, well, this is judicial because, and then explained how it's judicial, and he thinks that they did
a due diligence, and that's all they could do. Sorry, you guys. I hear your complaints, but I hope you vote for me again. God.
Well, he did say very popular things.
And by the way, and I have to agree with Johnson in the chat room. Ain't nothing wrong with college seasoned women.
Well, he said college season. I said college seasoned. I mean whores, but whatever.
More ladies.
No. College is bad for women.
Here, all right, so...
It encourages them to over-leverage their assets.
The project is going forward, and what I didn't... One of the complaints that I didn't mention, and this is the one that bothers me, is the parking. There's going to be a huge parking issue. There's already just enough parking spaces down there for the people who live there. Now you're going to add 130 units, and there could be two people in each of those units.
But you were just saying it was private property issue, and the zoning, everybody who's complaining is just resistant to change. So were any of the people complaining at
Yes, there were people who were bringing up the parking issue. I wasn't there. I would have brought it up. I want to show you – so I think it was the first episode we actually talked about this, and I made a prediction that after looking at the the site plans, the original site plans for this project.
Okay. And this is what it's going to look like?
Yeah, let me put it on the big screen. Okay, so here is the four-story building, but now in this picture, it's, I think it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So they drop that down to 4. Here's another version. Here's it from the front.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, right up front here is the middle school that is being renovated. Now, what gets me looking at these, I see this. There's a three-tier parking garage on the Spring Street side.
Well, that's not Spring Street. That's the other side
This is Spring right here. And this is here's Central Square.
Okay.
Here's the school.
Can you get rid of that?
No, I can't. I don't know how to get rid of this. It's embedded on there. But anyway, awesome. So this is not in the plans that they put forth to the city. This was the an idea plan that someone scraped together. And I find it very curious that this three-tier parking lot, which would make this project work, didn't make it into the final plans. What happened between when this was put together and the plans were submitted to the city? Why was this parking garage scrapped?
Well, what's in the plans right now? Maybe there's more building.
No, it's just a park. This is just a one-level parking lot.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of junk in a first draft, in a rough draft.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it's just, they also had, dinosaur statues on the roof as well.
Yeah, but this is not junk. This is a good addition to this project because they have all of these units and they've got this concert hall. Where are they going to park? They must have known, hey, we're going to have a parking issue unless they looked into the future and said, hey, you know what? Let's save a few mil from having to build this parking garage. Let's get the city to do it. Now, I was listening to the mayor yesterday morning on local radio, and I did not record it. I'm kicking myself. But he pretty much came out and said exactly that. He says, they're going to go ahead with this project. And once that tax revenue starts coming into the city, we'll probably look into building a parking garage somewhere in the area to house all these people. Because these people are going to, everyone's going to be scrambling for parking spots in the next year or two.
It's going to be a whole year before any of that tax money comes in unless I pay forward in advance or something.
But yeah, it was my prediction that that's exactly what's going to happen.
Well,
the city is going to build a parking garage, and the city means you and me. And you out there listening, we're going to pay for this stupid parking situation when the planners could be doing it with their own money.
Why
this
bother? That's why you show up to these meetings and you bitch and you complain and you moan and you pull out your, maybe we should have a church lady sewing circle there instead because you have a stake in it. This is actually your, this is your. You have ownership in what happens because it affects you.
Well, no, but when you go talk to the city people, they're going to say, here's the first thing they're going to tell you.
What are they?
Oh, no. No, this is not being paid through by taxpayers' money. This is in the business district. This is the tax increment financing district, the TIF district.
Mm-hmm.
So the money is being pulled together into a special TIF fund, and that's the money. That money is going to go to pay for the parking garage in 3, 4, 5 years.
Your complaint?
Because in a roundabout way, they are being misleading. And yes, you are paying into that because that's money from these businesses, from this business district, that could be going into the general fund and alleviating the tax rate on all of us. But no, it goes to a special
pool. I thought the TIF was supposed to enhance the TIF area.
That's right. But that's money.
Then that's what that's doing.
But that's money that could be going to the schools and the roads and everything else.
But it's not designated for that. It's designated for the TIF area.
The TIF area.
That's exactly what it is. So
money that could be going into the general fund is not.
So you want more taxes?
No, I want the TIF district and the TIF fund to disappear, and I want it to be leveled, the playing field leveled. No special district for the businesses here in downtown and the Blackwater district right north of us. I want the playing field to be leveled and everyone pays their fair share. Yes, that you just heard that from a libertarian. But as long as I'm paying my taxes, you know, I don't think they should be getting special treatment. So, because that's money that it's like, again, that's money that could be going to the general fund, but it can only be used in this district.
But in the libertarian ideology, that fund shouldn't exist anyway. So it's, if it stays in the TIF and benefits the TIF, then where's the libertarian problem with it? It's like a collection plate passed along.
Listen
that's
to me.
Totally
listen.
Not
listen.
The way it actually is.
That's
but
money that could be going to the general fund, but it's not.
But it shouldn't in the first place as a libertarian ideologist. So where's the problem?
Taxes. So if taxes right. are being paid, I would like them to be turned into user fees. I would like that whenever my driveway
that's needs- not on the table, though. There's the TIF, which allegedly, if they actually are generating the money that they're spending out of the TIF, and it's not just, you know, financial shenanigans, the TIF comes from these businesses. All right.
It only is
to benefit these businesses. So how really is it any of your business if you're not in there?
Listen,
if your problem is that the TIF money doesn't go into the general fund, well, then you're kind of saying that you want taxes to go to where you want them to go. And according to libertarian ideology, that makes you a statist. So.
Okay, look, I'm going to do a special show on this. I'm going to go talk to the city clerk. I got to get some numbers clarified.
Okay.
And I'll try to explain this better to you.
If it helps, I don't think the TIF is real. I think it's just a made-up column where they just put in whatever numbers they feel like.
It's a scam.
I'm totally on board with that.
Actually, it's a scheme, but I will go one step by definition, but I'll go one step further and call it a scam. There was one other thing that really bothered me listening to the mayor on the local radio the other day. I wish I had recorded.
What is the name of the show that you're listening to on Saturday so that everybody else can listen and get pissed off too?
Yeah. Well, they don't archive their shows, so you can't really go back and listen to them. But I mean, Sound Off with Chris Coates. But anyways.
Okay. So Saturday mornings, listen to that.
On WKBK. There were two other occurrences where the mayor used the words, we are bringing kids and youngins to this part of Keene.
Yeah.
And our, he used the pronoun our concerning the project. And
so
that
he
has,
didn't check
and
his
that has,
pronouns.
That has me concerned that he is
deluded.
He's so in bed with this project. Because it's not his project. It's not the city's project. It's a private third party. It's their project.
Except that it is their project. It's, you know, fascism, only not the cool kind. It's the really boring leftist fascism.
Well,
the
only way I can defend this is that when somebody is, say, getting their house renovated and they're saying that we are doing the work on the house.
We're getting the work done.
Even though they're not doing anything, say, paying the bill. Or even your favorite sports team, sports ball.
We won.
Yeah, we won and we kicked your butts. And it's like, yeah, you didn't. You sat on your couch and drank beer.
See, I suspect it's more along the lines of city government is an economic industrial complex. And I'm just going by the vibe that he probably sees himself as a CEO of a big wig. An executive in a very big corporation called Keene. Now, I'm not going to play 13th Amendment isn't real or the 10th and 11th Amendment means lawyers can't be, you know, in government or whatever, because that's nuts and irrelevant.
Actually, I like that theory.
It's
that,
cute.
That lawyers
it's,
are,
it's,
what is it there?
It's cute when Michael Bednarik did it 10 years ago, but it's 2016. It's current year.
Now,
but that's kind of the only vibe that I get that he was doing, that he's like, oh, I'm the big executive of some big company and we're doing great things and I'm a big part of something. That's, you know,
now,
what I'm guessing.
One of the participants at the meeting, Bill Beauregard, he kind of came up with the same idea as me. And by the way, most of the people were in favor of renovating this building and doing something with it. Some people thought it was going to be turned into a parking garage.
Just turn it into a prison like it was before.
But Bill actually, he's come up with the same, he's got the same prediction as me, except he is going another He's going another way. He actually
Who
wants
is
the
Bill?
City. He's one of the
development stand.
Homeowners out there. I think he owns a couple of lots and he's a renter.
Okay.
rental landlord. So here is Bill on the parking issue.
Development standard 12 in the staff report on page 35, it does state it's a policy of the city to assure that new development does not diminish the safety or capacity of existing city streets, bridges, and intersections. It's the responsibility of anyone wishing to develop in the city to comply with this policy. I think the evidence that you've heard tonight will find that this policy hasn't been satisfied and the developer hasn't complied with it. One other statement I just would like to make is if this development proceeds, you've heard testimony about the parking shortage and how that's going to be exacerbated by this project. Taxpayers of the city of Keene are going to be forced to mitigate this if this project moves forward.
Yep.
So I think now is the opportunity for the city to work in whatever fashion it can with the developer to try to deal with this issue and really ensure the success of the redevelopment of the middle school, not its ultimate failure. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, and so he's spot on, except I don't know what he means by the city should work with the developer. I don't know if city funds should be helped, should be handed and helped out, or like
I think it's
split,
a matter of
pushing the
application approval back and saying, okay, no, we got to have another meeting or something. I don't understand why the parking was not in the crossing the T's and dotting the I's and the 19 zoning standards that Mr. Big Name Hanselman said.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, everybody's saying like they followed the rules, they crossed their T's, they dotted their I's, and yet there's no parking. And when the second guy, when Beauregard says, you know, the Keene is going to have to mitigate this and, you know, we don't want this to fail, if it comes down to parking, it's not going to fail. It's going to just suck for anybody who has to park downtown.
Correct.
It's going to be just the same problem that is there right now, only it's totally exacerbated. People are going to go nuts over parking, which will make it feel like a real big city where there's no parking. Oh, that's really cool. Keene's moving on up. Great. But that's all it's going to do. It's going to go, the failure would not be because of parking. Failure would mean that it turned into the Colony Mill, or it turned into the Kingsbury building or whatever, that property.
Yeah, but
where just dies out because businesses don't go anywhere.
Yeah, let me ask you though, does the Colony Mill provide anything that the people really want?
I don't know. Do I like any of the businesses?
I
like the Indian restaurant.
I mean, last week we made the argument about the Talon not getting off the ground.
Yankees don't like Indian food out here.
The Talon restaurant, which was going to actually service collegers.
That was the one on Winchester and Ralston Street that we talked about two episodes ago.
It really didn't make sense that they needed a whole lot of parking spots because the dorms are right there. The kids are just going to walk right to it. Question, how many... this is going to be right in the center of downtown. I mean, how many people are just going to be able to walk right to this place? If they're actually providing services that the people want, but if there is no parking and they're not walking, they're actually driving and you know, they go to one event and it's like, wow, I had to park halfway across the city and walk all the way over here. I'm not coming to this place anymore. And then, of course, it fails.
Well, it's not so much – I don't think it's going to be so much the venue parking because people figure that out. They park downtown – they park further up the streets and all that, or they, carpool. I think the problem would be residents. The residents living there, they need a car. If you have roommates, sorry, if you can afford to live downtown, you probably need a job that can behoove you to be able to live downtown.
If you could afford
and
to
there's
live.
Nothing downtown that's hiring that well. And
yeah, if you can afford to live in this new unit, this new development, then you're going to have to make some bucks. This
what I think would be really funny is if they did what my college did in California so many years ago, when they told us outright, yeah, we don't build enough parking to encourage you to bike and walk and take the bus.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's why the parking permits are so expensive, and that's why there is not enough parking. There's more parking permits than there are spaces because, you know, we care about the environment. That was never a problem I
Yay.
Had because I didn't have a car, but
yay.
That's
well, the restaurant and the event space should be up and running in November, I believe. So we'll see in 2 months.
I'll see if I get an interview.
You want to get a job at this place?
Yeah.
At the whiskey martini bar?
I would.
You could be a whiskey girl.
I would learn something if I worked in a restaurant as opposed to just fast food and office work.
Well, we'll definitely keep you in mind because when they're building that garage in 3 years, you're going to hear me spitting and complaining about it because it's coming out of the city budget. In other news,
what else next?
The war on drugs, never ending. The war on medical marijuana.
They'll use any excuse.
The Attorney General's Office of New Hampshire releases the names of, I believe, 5 New Hampshire lawmakers that some dude named Tasker, who got in trouble doing some bad things earlier this year.
What did he do?
I believe that there was an underage girl involved, and he sold drugs. But I don't think that's what got him caught. But anyways, he had a medical dispensary set up in his house, and he sold some drugs to some lawmakers.
He had a medical dispensary in his house.
That means
he was a drug dealer.
Yes.
Or he sold weed.
Yes, but surprisingly, pretty much every one of these lawmakers they were actually, including one who was no longer with us, they were all pretty much treating symptoms of either cancer or severe pain. And it's absolutely ridiculous that at least it's legal now. But when this was all going down, it was not, I believe. NH1 does a short video.
They do
on
a
it.
Thing. I'm not going to say they do news.
News tonight. A shocking new report just released from the New Hampshire Attorney General's office shows lawmakers bought drugs from former state representative Kyle Tasker. NH1's chief investigative reporter Celine MacArthur joining us in the studio with the details. Now, Celine, the AG's office is releasing names of those lawmakers. Is that right?
Yes, and it's a bipartisan list, if you will.
Wow.
Kyle Tasker resigned after he was arrested on drug and sex-related charges. At that point, the AG's office got wind that Tasker may have been dealing drugs at the State House, so they started digging, finding incriminating evidence about him selling to lawmakers on his iPad and Facebook account.
Digging means wasting taxpayers' money.
That led to the AG's office identifying 5 lawmakers, Shem Kellogg, Amanda Bolden, Joseph LaChance, Ted Wright, and Pamela Tucker. Well, Shem Kellogg died in June of cancer, so he wasn't interviewed.
Oh, God.
Here are some of the highlights.
These freaking ghouls.
Look how happy she is, too, about it.
Well, the first woman was smiling, like, with glee that somebody was arrested for drugs.
I don't think
because it used to be a scandal at one time for a lawmaker to be doing drugs or caught doing drugs.
Yeah,
I guess it is still now, and that's what they're trying to pull out of the Tasker incident, is what can we get out of it? You know, he also, you know, was a low-level dealer or something, or he sold drugs to his friends.
Yeah, both of these women are gleeful. But they're just reading off of a script. I don't even know if they have an opinion. Both these girls don't sound like they own an opinion in their whole bodies. They're just reading a script and are told to look pretty and spit it out for the people. Doom and gloom. It's marijuana, Shauna. It kills people. That's what Hiller.
It's not even about the marijuana. It's just there's something that can be found, some way to shame these people.
Well,
and because some of them are free staters, they're kind of, you know, always going to have a target on their backs. Not because they're so pro-liberty, but because you can get hit by the left or the right because you have no side.
Of their interviews. Now, they say Manchester Democrat Amanda Bolden was, quote, with him while he smoked marijuana in the State House anteroom. She did not see drugs or drug paraphernalia at.
Yeah, by the way, there
she
were a lot
stood
of people.
By
there
while
were,
somebody.
There were a lot of people involved. They had the whole front of the building full of, marijuana protesters all smoking it up because it's a ridiculous law.
Oh, it could have been during the 420
there's been more than one.
Or whatever that they did. And look at the quote. She was with him while he smoked marijuana in the State House anteroom. She didn't see drugs, blah, 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 blah. Okay, that means if she was smoking with him, they would have gotten a quote from somebody else saying, Amanda was smoking weed with him, but she wasn't. So they just have that she was with him Although that, if that's from the interview with Amanda, that's a pretty weird thing to quote Amanda saying, speaking in the third person, but whatever.
Well, Amanda has gotten a lot of
camera time
the last year, so I think that's why they're focused on her, even though
there's
nowhere in the report
what
that
I'm
says
saying
that
is look at the quote, she was with him, from interview with Amanda Bolden. So it doesn't say from, it just says the interview. That gives you the impression that this was a quote from her interview. But it's not, because she's speaking in the third person. I've met Amanda, she's not that crazy, where she's speaking in the third person about herself. It would say if this was straight out of Amanda's interview, it would say, I was with him while he smoked marijuana. I did not see drugs or whatever. That's just a side point. The point is, there are so many people, if you were just with somebody while they smoked marijuana in any room, so what? I've done that plenty of times. There's so many examples from the time I was like 5 years old to I don't know how long ago, where I was with somebody while they smoked marijuana in a room. It is not an indication of anything. Everybody in Keene knows somebody who was in a room with somebody while that other person smoked.
This is true.
This is absolutely nothing. This is creation of controversy. It is dumb and it is boring.
It's a witch hunt. This is definitely a witch hunt.
His home. She never bought drugs, but admitted to smoking marijuana with Tasker in his car.
Well, whatever.
Joseph LaChance admitted to buying marijuana from Tasker multiple times, including once in Concord. He claims he needed it for chronic pain, and now that therapeutic marijuana is legal in New Hampshire, he had a card to purchase marijuana. The report also says, quote, it appeared to LaChance.
Sounds like the problem is solved then.
Yes, but keep
in mind. She says outright, you know, he did it. He, you know, bought it from him, smoked it with him, whatever. And then medical marijuana became legal, so he doesn't go to him anymore.
Yeah,
so...
and keep in mind, no criminal charges have been brought up. But there are many in the legislature that are censoring these five individuals, calling them out, telling them they need to resign, telling them they took an oath of office.
Well, you do what you can.
And you are breaking the law.
So, you do what you can. You black knight when you need to.
Yeah.
From the six large kettles of loose marijuana and drug-related paraphernalia in Tasker's kitchen, and brownies and other drug supplies in his refrigerator, the Tasker was a full-fledged dealer who was operating something akin to a dispensary.
Wow.
LaChance added that, quote, Tasker was like the Club Med of weed. He had a variety of high-end strains of marijuana and charged accordingly. Well, former Deputy House Speaker Republican Pamela Tucker also admitted to buying pot from Tasker. She dropped out of the race for the 1st Congressional District back in May. She was running against Frank Ginta, who just won the primary. Well, according to investigators, quote, Tucker suggested that personal problems prompted her to medicate herself with the marijuana and the liquid she bought from Tasker, but refused to elaborate further.
Oh,
now, Sanbornville Republican Ted Wright says he bought the marijuana for his wife battling cancer. He told investigators, quote, the trial drugs made her very sick. However, only marijuana ameliorated the debilitating side effects.
And by the way, I believe that she is she is good to go. That was like 4 years ago. I believe that she's good to go now.
That is a great backfire. From the whole point of this segment was to cause controversy and to cause local people to be afraid that they found a Tasker earlier this year, I think, for the bad thing that he did, which is really stupid. It's pretty much all on his side. What he first got popped for, you mitigate your risk or you don't take the risk. Sorry, that's how it works in the real world. No, you're not. But and then they, from that, from him being arrested and investigated, they try to pull out anything. And what does the news do? They want to sell advertising. They want to sell ads, and the ads really are based on the viewers. So to get viewers to watch, they pull out this huge controversy of, oh, Tasker, the mean, horrible, you know, creepy dude flying through the night selling drugs to our esteemed lawmakers, and drugs are so bad, and weed, oh, weed is still, you know, horrible and everything. And then they have this where, you know, it's from...
Sorry.
Yeah, that was horrible. Please don't do
that. It's too loud.
Where, you know, they're saying, it's a quote from somebody who was caught for doing weed, for, you know, buying connected to this other dude who didn't mitigate his risk. And, you know, on the national, well, not national, on the local news at least, trial drugs made her sick. So whatever the doctor, the man in the lab coat, was prescribing her made her very sick. She did something about it. She didn't just accept her fate. And she points out that only marijuana made the very sick not be so very sick.
Yeah, and keep in mind that this news organization...
So this is a backfire for the news.
Yeah, well, this news organization, I believe it's a backfire for the AG. This news organization is just doing what it does. They didn't do this research. The AG did the interviews, did the research.
Oh, I don't think they did any research. She's literally reading and scrolling along. We do that sometimes.
Well, yeah, but we're an opinion piece, whereas they are actually trying to. They're actually supposed to report on the actual news, and they're selling us the news.
They sell us, the viewers, the product called the news, and then the station sells us, the viewers, as the product to the advertising companies.
Correct. I am just upset that the AG spent any time on this. They're going through thousands of pages of Tasker's emails and social media, and of course they were able to scrounge this up. And I don't know if they just posted. I don't know.
Maybe he didn't.
I don't know if they posted it somewhere. Or they actually? Maybe they sent it to these people.
Maybe they didn't need to go too far. If he's like running a dispensary, maybe all of his messages are like, "Hey, I want to buy weed from you."
And by the way, so that's just
meet me in the lawmaker's office where I work.
That's just five legislators. There's no telling how many other hundreds of other clients this individual had.
Yeah.
So they might be going after people.
Or I mean, if they're not going to go after them, then maybe they're just like, we'll spook everybody else with these five.
Well, we shared that report with radio talk show host Howie Carr. This is what he had to say.
This is hilarious. I mean, I don't know. I mean, maybe I should be appalled, but it's more amusing than anything else that these guys are smoking pot at the state house.
Pot.
I think you should resign. You know, I mean, you take an oath of office.
Yeah, screw you, Howie. Yeah, I actually looked at the oath of office, and
does it say anything about not doing weed?
And I'm kind of glad one of these days I'm going to get elected, I'm going to have to swear the oath of office, and you swear allegiance to the United States and the state of New Hampshire, and you have to support the Constitution of both.
Now, is that so bad?
Now,
if it's for an office, it's like it'd be like, I'm going to get married, but I'm not going to swear to obey my husband or not cheat on him. It's like, well, then why are you getting married? So in this case, it'd be like, well, then why do you want the job? But, and the thing about Howie Carr, his little, it's the same thing as a man on the street interview, which I've gone over in other earlier episodes that we've done, where they have this non-story, practically non-story, and they're like, we went to the streets of Manchester to find out what people think, and it's like some dude who's like, you know, well, if the rule is that you do it, then I do it because I'm a rule follower.
They always find a rule follower. They always find someone.
Or with
the
bag ban on the first or second episode that we did, where it's
like. Or the Zika guy last week.
Or the Zika guy.
I love when they spray. They said it's good.
And it's the same thing with this Howie Carr dude, even though he's the guy on the radio. He's a guy on the radio, you know, kind of funny. The best thing about his show in the afternoon is the clips.
Yeah, he thinks marijuana users should be locked up.
And to be specific, it's the clips of Trump that are entertaining, not what he actually says. So, but the point about it is that he is the equivalent of Man on the Street. It's edited. As soon as he stopped talking and saying, you know, they should resign. Wow, that's a really strong sentence. We're going to end it there. They cut it. It's edited to create the illusion that other people support the controversy that they initially bring out from the vibe that they're giving. Mm-hmm. And it's trash. It's dumb. It's like if you went to, you know, the dumbest, most moronic coworker and ask them what they think. And it's like, they don't know anything. But guess who's going to be dumb enough to talk to the media? Except us. It's your dumb coworker. And that's the exact same as, you know, when they go to Howie Carr. It's trash media.
Now, he mentioned, and some other legislators mentioned that.
They took an oath.
That they took an oath. And so I brought it up.
I mean,
I'm curious, because one day I'm going to I might swear have to swear this stupid oath.
It's not a stupid oath if it's for something that you volunteered for.
If that oath includes me supporting laws that I think are killing people, then that's going to be a problem. So I looked at the New Hampshire Constitution.
Then you better find out what the oath is before you sign up for it, because
I just told you what it was. It's on another page. Allegiance to the United States and New Hampshire state.
Okay.
And agree to uphold those both constitutions. Nothing in the Constitution supports drug prohibition. This is the U.S. Constitution. They actually tried it with alcohol. They actually created an amendment because they thought it was that important.
And they passed it. They succeeded. They didn't just try.
And they tried for 10 years, and it was an abysmal failure, and they decided to repeal it.
They tried the enactment.
Correct, and it didn't work. So nothing actually supports the war on drugs. Nothing supports drug prohibition. It's the same. Marijuana should be treated the same as alcohol.
And if they really
want to make heroin illegal, they actually need to create a law that says not a law, but a constitutional amendment. And as far as New Hampshire is concerned, Article 2, natural rights, trumps everything. I don't care what New Hampshire laws they have in the books saying that marijuana is illegal, opioids are illegal, da-da-da-da-da, down the list. Natural rights, Article 2, all men have certain natural, essential, and inherent rights, among which are the enjoying and defending of life and liberty, acquiring, possessing, and protecting property, and, in a word, of seeking and obtaining happiness. That says to me...
In a word...
That it is, I smoke whatever I want, and there's no you can legislate all the laws that you want to, but that right there trumps every stupid law prohibiting drugs. That's just the way that I interpret it. Is the judge down the street going to interpret it the same way? No, because we are people of laws, and we need these things in order to keep us from.
Well, I think the whole nation of laws thing's kind of beaten the competition. But what I have seen from at least school where I was reading laws, that what you just read makes more sense in ancient law codes that I've seen, where they just state the facts, and then from there you pretty much do what you want. If it's prohibited, then you don't do it, but it's pretty basic. Mm-hmm. What I've seen in modern stuff, and I'm talking from about 1800 on in the United States, there's a lot of accompanying words to all the laws that I've seen, that I've read, the amendments and all that, where it says, you know, Congress has the authority to enact laws to enable this legislation, to enact it.
Right. The New Hampshire Constitution says the same thing.
That makes my point. I think that's where from everybody gets this authority to go nuts.
They can't write laws if the first article on the books trumps whatever they're trying to enact.
Where does that come from?
What do you mean, where does it come from?
The idea that the second... Number two trumps number...
New Hampshire State.
Okay.
I just had it. Where'd it go? Yeah, so... Natural rights. I have the natural right of enjoying and defending life and liberty and acquiring, possessing, protecting my property.
Okay.
In my own... it doesn't say anywhere that I can hurt people, or it doesn't say anywhere that I can go onto public land and start fires. Mm-hmm. It says that, you know, as long as that it's my possessions, my property... I'm free to do whatever.
I don't know how that squares with reality, because there are a lot of
people who, like Howie Carr, who think that marijuana users should be thrown in jail.
He's a moron doing a moron on the street interview. He just happened to be in Concord on Friday when this came out because he was doing a show. Mm-hmm. So what I'm trying to point out is the reality. There's a lot of laws and
there's a lot of bad laws
that are still laws
they need to be, and they need to be
nullified.
We
can go in this circle forever. I got at least 2.5 minutes. Okay. There are laws. There are laws on the books. There are constitutional amendments. There are probably state amendments that also have the clause, the really cool stuff about, you know, the 13th Amendment, no bondage, the southern states assume all the debt forever, and they're all slaves now. Ha ha ha. They also have the accompanying text that Congress can enact laws or will enact laws to. They can write the laws that they need to get this done.
But they can't go against any.
Except that they actually do. So
they
that kind of seems
wrong.
To not be the point. And if you are going to, you know, say that you're going to. That you're going to take the oath of office, you're going to go into office and all that, then really you should read it to find out what laws are you going to be coming into.
God.
Unless, you know, oaths don't mean anything to you. And in that case, well, then, you know,
no oaths.
You have a great future ahead of you in political office.
Oaths do mean something to me. And that's why I have a problem swearing an oath.
Yeah.
That I'm immediately going to break because I think that it's supporting bad laws.
Then you need to research it.
Well, that's what I'm doing. And I
you got to get more than just lying to.
And I just said, if I swear an oath as a legislator to uphold the Constitution, and then I get caught smoking marijuana the next day, I think I'm within my grounds.
I'm going to find you asleep. I mean, for what it's worth, and it's probably not worth anything because I'm not an activist, but I don't think that those people, you know, the Amanda and everybody else should be in any sort of trouble or, you know, they should resign. No, they shouldn't resign. It has no bearing on, you know, any other law.
Well,
they're not being prosecuted.
Like I said, no criminal charges have been brought up, but like I said, they're being censored by their peers. Andrew
Jackson was censored by the Senate as soon as he got in office.
They should feel ashamed of themselves, and I hope that the voters come out in whenever and vote these people, these morons, out of office.
They're ashamed. They should be ashamed of themselves.
Ashamed
like
of
that
themselves.
Ever stopped a libertarian?
Correct. And you know, it's horrible. And the war on drugs for Pete's sake.
Meh. Whatever.
It's so dumb. hey guys, you have been watching Citizen Kane. Make sure you head over to our website, citizenkane.org. All of the previous shows are there. Unlike some of the local radio shows here in town, I archive everything so that you can
actually find the scene where I call everybody a whore. Great.
You can watch.
I planned this out very well.
Past shows at your leisure. Also, do me a favor. Head over to the Facebook page. Give it a like. That's where we live stream, and that's where I put a lot of the articles that we talk about during the show. I put them up during the week, and you can stay in contact with us that way. Or you can email me. The email address is show@citizenkane.org. Or, of course, you can message me on Facebook. If you would like to call us during the week, not going to pick up, but you can leave a message. That number down below, 267-521-2771, is available to leave a message. Please, nothing longer than 2 minutes, unless you got some good stuff to tell me. So, Shauna, thank you so much for not yelling at me.
Yay, because that's exactly what I did not do.
You kind of yelled at me. Guys in the chat, thank you so much.
That's it.
Johnson said something about the Indian store at the brand new Indian store at the Colony Mill is moving.
There was a Indian restaurant there, yeah.
I wonder if they'll be looking at the new location at the Washington Park. Did you actually eat at that Indian place?
No, not that you know of.
Oh, you're not supposed to tell me when you splurge big money. Guys at home watching, thank you so much. We'll see you next week, same time, Sunday. Good night.
Chicken.
Yeah. You know, I had to update this stupid thing every single time. There's got to be another way to do this. I'm going to have to look into Johnson, are you still in the chat? So I'm monitoring the comments, the Facebook comments who are watching the live stream. And the actual comments will not refresh.
They have to be manually refreshed.
Unless I manually refresh the page. And I was Googling.
I think that's good.
What? Oh, to manually refresh? I was Googling and I couldn't find any.
I don't like, I would rather do show or be in chat room, but not both.
Okay, I'll be in a chat room.
But that's how I am about everything. I would rather do audio so that what we say is what's important. But, you know, whatever.
I need to explain this TIFF thing to you. I'm gonna do a special show on that.
I think you should explain it to everybody. You should do a special show on it. I'm on board with what you said. I think a lot of people.
I think a lot of people don't get it.
No, I think a lot of people feel that way, that if it's the TIFF, then it's for the TIFF area. So what's the problem?
But indirectly.
And because of libertarian ideology, there is no rest. Indirectly, so you're always wrong and you're always right.
You and I, we are paying for projects downtown.
Okay.
Indirectly. We're not paying it straight out. It's not coming straight out of the city budget. That's money that could be going into the budget. That's not. So our tax rate is increased. So we are actually paying for those projects.
You're going to have to explain it to me on the show.
I'll do that. I'll have the numbers. I'll lay them out. All right, let me find this off button. And
did you get the part where I had to beat the kitten? Because she was screwing with the thing?
I don't think, probably you leaning over, yes, but not.
Okay.
You know, and don't say that on live. You'll have some pitas that are breaking our doors down.
Oh, my God. You beat the kitten. Probably are going to get blocked.
Kitten got swatted because she was trying to pull down the entire room here. All right. Guys, thanks so much for watching. We'll see you next week with some more Keen stuff.
Can you edit the title?
Yes, I'll edit the title. Well, actually, I don't know.
Change broke to jinxed.
Jinxed? Okay, yeah. That makes more sense. All right, guys, we'll see you next week. Ending now.